Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be in His house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. Deuteronomy 11, beginning at verse 10. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. What beautiful words. Holy promise, glorious promise, good cheer for a new year and for every year. Imagine living in a land that drinks water from the rain of heaven. Living in a land for which the Lord God cares. A land with the eyes of the Lord God always upon it. Not one day in the calendar year where this isn't true. And I want to receive these words today, these beautiful words, these glorious words, this good cheer for the new year that lies ahead. And I want to look back and acknowledge and recount the faithfulness of my God, thanking and praising Him for the land He has caused me to possess. Recount the words of the psalmist. We just read some of these words. Psalm 65, verses 9 to 13. You visit, that is, give attention to the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They draw upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. A year crowned with the goodness of the Lord. Not a crowning at the end, at the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve, but a crown upon the year from beginning to very end. Back to Deuteronomy, reading from the Voice Bible, the land where you're going to live when you cross the Jordan isn't like the land of Egypt where you came from. When you sowed seeds there, you could water all of your land as if it were nothing more than a small vegetable garden, transporting the water yourselves. But in the land where you're going to live, the hills and valleys drink water right out of the sky. He takes care of this land. He's always looking after it all throughout the year. The land which you go to possess, the land where you're going to live, and the call to cross over. This call and conquest the Lord extends to each person. And it begins here. Come out of Egypt. If you haven't yet, come out of Egypt. Egypt speaks of the old life, a life of bondage, a life in need of rescue, salvation, redemption, freedom. Now, concerning humanity, many are born in Egypt. And in one sense, all are born into Egypt. For we all need rescue, salvation, redemption, freedom. Many grow up in Egypt, and many live and die in Egypt. The Lord's declaration is still the same. Let my people go. Thus says the Lord God, let my people go. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When the Lord sent Moses into Egypt to lead the people out, there were many signs and wonders. Many signs and wonders shown, for Pharaoh didn't want to let the people go. And so, one night, one final stroke, and the people that were to come out were given precise instructions. Precise instructions on what they needed to do to be part of the Exodus. Exodus 12, beginning of verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood, and still, when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you've said. The Passover lamb is Jesus. His holy blood covers us. His precious blood saves us. It's only by his blood. This was a foreshadow of what would be as they applied the blood to the lintel and the two doorposts. The blood of Jesus is applied on us. And when there is application of the blood of the Lamb, the deliverance of the Lord, the words of Pharaoh, rise, go out from among my people, and go serve the Lord as you have said. If you haven't yet, come out of Egypt. I share with you the words of Billy Graham. A new year is only a mark of time, a turning of the page. Mankind was not established on earth just to be preoccupied with self, our own problems and pleasures. If this is all there is to life, then it truly is meaningless. Ecclesiastes 1:14. Man was not made for himself, but for God. the great designer plan that we would know him forever. Why are people so restless? Why are people constantly searching for lasting peace and contentment, yet never fully satisfied? Many people express this, particularly when a new year approaches. The Bible says this happens for a very good reason. We are incomplete without God. If we leave him out of our lives, we have an empty place in our souls, a yearning deep inside us that only God can satisfy. Start the new year off with a sure thing. God's promise to give you a hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. The most important resolution you can make as another year approaches is this: to open your heart and life to Jesus Christ and commit your life to him. Don't waste your time on resolutions that don't ultimately matter. Resolve instead to live for Christ. It's really wonderful to enter the new year with Jesus Christ. All through the year to be going along with Christ and have Christ going along with you. No matter what the problems, many of them uncertain, many mysteries out there in the future, but Christ is with you. Whether we know the future or not, we know the one who holds the future. Out from Egypt and out of Egypt. Breathing room. Fresh air. And the journey begins. Egypt in the rearview mirror, and yet Egypt gaining ground. You see, it doesn't mean the fight is over. If you know the history, if you know the story, we know that it wasn't too long after the people had come out of Egypt that Pharaoh and his army were on the hunt for the Exodus party. A free life and the attack against the free life. The pursuit of the enemy as we pursue the promised land. And the great promised land. Will we make it? Will you make it? Should you choose, decide to come out? Listen, God is faithful. God will lead you. As you press on, as you trust him, as you look to him, perhaps you're feeling it today. Egypt, hot on your heels. Well, Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation, that is the deliverance of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Come out of Egypt. Come out of Egypt today. And you know, perhaps it's self that is holding back. By the Spirit of the Lord, let yourself go. It's so true that the most important resolution you can make as another year approaches is to open your heart and life to Jesus Christ and to commit your life to him. And these words, ere yet the midnight bell proclaims the birth of a new year, may you be born to God. At any rate, once more shall the truth by which men are regenerated be lovingly brought under your attention. People of God, the land is not the same. out of Egypt and the Lord leading us. The land is not the same, the New King James Version. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The land is not the same. The land the Lord leads us into is not like the land of Egypt. Listen, we are not to live like we are still in Egypt. We are not to act like we are still in Egypt. We are not to think like we are still in Egypt. We are not to speak like we are still in Egypt. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Now we understand that the Exodus account serves as a parallel. We are talking spiritually today, and yet the spiritual affects the physical, the mental, the emotional, and so on. Our ultimate entrance into the land the Lord has for us is glory when we finally exit this life and enter paradise with Him for all eternity. But what about this life that we live now? On this side of eternity, what about this life we now live in the flesh and still live in the flesh? The Christian has come out of Egypt, in the world, yet not of the world. This is the manner we speak of today. You know, perhaps it might be said in this way, that Egypt has come out of the Christian. Egypt has left the Christian. Egypt has exited. Exodus. And the new land is different. It has to be different. This is the living proof that we no longer live in Egypt. That Egypt no longer lives in us. Egypt no longer living in us. And no longer our living and lifestyle. The address has changed. And so too our place of belonging. You know, I would interject here to say that should the rogue desire for the taste of Egypt ever arise, crucify the flesh. For those flavors are the very flavors of death. Church, people of God, Christian, pilgrim, the land is not the same. We're talking about a land of new convictions, a land of new conditions, a land of new position, a land of provision. The text, for the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come. Where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. Out of Egypt, and this crossing over. And there we stand on the shore of a new land. The land the Lord has for us. Now, in order to possess the land, we have to cross over it. A land of hills and valleys. A land with inhabitants. And this land will test our obedience. And this land will test our devotion. This land will test our resolve. This land will test our faith. Why does the land take possessing? Shouldn't it all just come easy? Oh, people of God, we are gloriously free of Egypt. But there is a fight before us. There is a conquest before us. And if we want all that the Lord has for us, we are going to have to start walking. Start marching. Leave the shore behind. And we must move with this knowledge and conviction that the Lord our God has given us the land. So how exactly do we possess it? Well, the answer is in the text. We pick it up at verse 13. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey, that is, listen to my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Parents, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Earnestly obey the commandments of the Lord. Love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. This is key to the land possessed and the land blessed. This is key to the possession of that which the Lord would have us possess. Godliness, holiness, purity, righteousness, a frame that fears the Lord, a frame that honors the Lord, a home, a family that bleeds his colors, a generation and generations that possess the possession of the Lord, these possessed by the Lord. We're talking about a people all in, fully devoted, fully his for time and eternity. Verses 22 to 25. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourself. Hallelujah. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, and the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he has said to you. Listen, people of God, obedience is key to the driving out of nations, inhabitants that want to remain in the land that the Lord our God is giving us as a possession. Obedience dispossesses. As we walk in his ways, crossing over the land, holding fast to him. Obedience is very important. We've read it in the text. Verses 26 to 32, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. and the curse. If you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. Now it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of the Jordan, toward the setting sun, in the land of the Canaanites who dwell in the plain opposite Gilgal, beside the terebinth trees of Moreh? For you will cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land with the Lord, which the Lord your God is giving you. And you will possess it and dwell in it. And you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments which I set before you today. I would encourage everyone in this house today to choose blessing. Choose blessing. Obey the commandments of the Lord. This is how we choose blessing. Don't turn aside from the way which he commands. Don't go after other gods. You know, we each have to choose, every person in this room today, a personal decision. As for me, I will serve the Lord. And as a collective unit that we find ourselves in, we must choose. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to choose blessing. We're going to follow God's way. Choose blessing and put the blessing on the right mountain. Verse 29, you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Gerizim, cuttings off. Ebal, stone or bare mountain. The Amplified Bible reads, and when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, you shall set the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. I would encourage us today, and this is wisdom, put the blessing on the right mountain. Cuttings off. Cut off the old life, the old ways, the old ties, the old days. Put the curse on the right mountain. Put the curse on the bare mountain. No blessing on that which is unfruitful. But there's something else being said here. The Living Bible, when the Lord your God brings you into the land to possess it, a blessing shall be proclaimed from Mount Gerizim and a curse from Mount Ebal. The Voice Bible, when the Eternal your God brings you into the land where you're going to live, when you cross the Jordan, half of you are going to stand on Mount Gerizim and shout out the blessings that will come to those who obey the Lord. The other half of you will stand on Mount Ebal, on the other side of the valley, and shout out the curses that will fall on those who disobey him. The message here is what comes next. When God, your God, brings you into the land you are going into to make your own, you are to give out the blessing from Mount Gerizim and the curse from Mount Ebal. Proclaim blessing from the right mountain. Shout out blessing from the right mountain. Give out blessing from the right mountain, that people know from which mountain the blessing flows. That your children know from which mountain the blessing flows. That the strugglers know from which mountain the blessing flows. Every pilgrim seeking progress, the mount of cuttings off. Aren't we thankful that we've come out of Egypt? So thankful that we've crossed over. So very thankful for the land the Lord has given us to possess. So thankful It's not a land like Egypt. How could we ever again long for Egypt? Having tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And yet, many forget the weary foot of Egyptian life. Deuteronomy 11, verses 10 to 12, for the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. I want to ask you today, are you still watering in your own strength? Are you still watering by foot? The new land doesn't need it. And this land simply cannot be watered by the foot of man. Determined to continue to water in your own strength, to water by foot, give your foot a break. Yeah, we still sow seed, but the watering has changed and it has become divine. The scope has changed. A vegetable garden traded for hills and valleys. We could talk about mindset today. The land is too great for us to rely on our own strength, on our own foot. What frustration arises if this be our manner? Listen, it's not possible. And if we are determined to do it on our own, the heavens will not give rain. Our land will not drink water from the rain of heaven. Listen, there is too much ground. My foot, your foot is so inadequate. This is not a natural existence, it's supernatural. Though, we naturally exist. Can't we see it? The Egyptian life was one of self-reliance, independence. The Egyptian life is all about the foot of man. The Christian life is one of self-surrender and dependence. The Christian life is all about the reign of heaven. Lord, my foot is insufficient. How many know they need the rain of heaven? Oh, we sow all right. But God is looking over the land of possession. This land of hills and valleys drinks water from the rain of heaven. A land for which the Lord our God cares. The eyes of the Lord our God are always on it. Can you receive this promise today? Receive the word of the Lord today from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. The very eyes of the Lord. Let's have the worship team return today. The words of Charles Spurgeon said, the expression of the text teaches us that the Lord takes a personal interest in us. It is not here said that God loves us and therefore sends an angel to protect and watch over us, but the Lord does it himself. The eyes that observe us are God's own eyes. The guardian under whose protection we are placed is God himself. See, my brethren, see the loving tenderness of our gracious God. Never, never, never does he delegate to others, however good or kind, or to any secondary agents, however active or powerful, the care of his people. but his own eyes without a substitute must watch over us. I wish it were in the power of mortal speech to convey the full glory of that thought. But it is not. You must eat this morsel alone. You must take it like a wafer made with honey and put it under your tongue and suck the essential sweetness out of it. The eyes of God, my God, are always upon his chosen. As eyes of affection, delight, complacency, unwearied power, immutable wisdom, and unchanging love. It's quite the promise. The eyes of the Lord are always on it. Always. And I'll take him at his word. Receive his word, take him at his word. Live like you believe it. Talk like you believe it, you know. Act like you believe it. The eyes of the Lord, the very eyes of Jehovah. Well, a new year is upon us. A new dawn. A new opportunity. A new day. And days. A calendar year full of days by his grace. Let us honor the night that gives way to new year by honoring our Lord. Let us look ahead with anticipation. Let us even now commit each day to him. Commit to follow him. We know that each day will be a day made by the Lord. Each day of 2025, let us rejoice and be glad. Borrowing these precious words, I pray, God, that a new year may not be begun by you in sin. But may God begin with you at the fall of the year and bring you now to know his power to save. If this new year shall be full of unbelief, it will be sure to be dark and dreary. If it be baptized into faith, it will be saturated with benediction. If we will believe our God as he deserves to be believed, our way will run along the still waters and our rest will be in green pastures. Trusting in the Lord, we shall be prepared for trials and shall even welcome them as black ships laden with bright treasures. And may we say today, Lord, our eyes are always on you. Our eyes are always on you from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. Amen. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today. In these closing moments, why don't we just do that? Just surrender. Take on a spirit of faith for this new year, this new opportunity, the days that lie ahead. Every day, this is the day the Lord has made. And then we got to choose, because regardless, whether we're rejoicing or not, it's the day the Lord's made. Whether we're glad or not, it's the day the Lord has made. Let's not walk around complaining. Let's rejoice. Let's be glad. Let's thank the Lord. Let's just give him every day. Let's live to serve him and honor him and bless him. Let's be obedient because, you know, that's how we choose blessing. And I pray for everyone in this house that as we choose blessing, as we cross over, as we put the blessing on the right mountain, as we serve the Lord, press on with Him, that the blessing of God would fill your life, fill your home. We said.